In today's Mishnah, it's on the 6th and 7th Mishnah, on the 3rd Parak, Misach to Sanhedrin, Mishnah begins, Ketu Bo Kina Ta'idim. How would they test, or how would they check the witnesses who are going to testify in a mandatory case? So Mishnah says, Hayu Mach Nisunasan. First, they bring them together in front of Beit Din, these witnesses. Umar Amin Alehim. And they would scare them, they would frighten them, and they would share how the seriousness of what they're engaging in. They would say the consequences, they'll tell someone of the consequences, both in this world and the next world, of one who testifies falsely. Also, the social impact of someone who is described and framed as being an individual who's a false witness. Then, if they still wanted to continue, they said, yes, we understand this and we want to provide testimony. Then, Mutzinot et Kol Adam Lechutz. They'll make everyone leave. And they would leave one, or the gadol of the two witnesses, relative between the two witnesses, in front of Beit Din. So now Beit Din is only the three Da'anim and one witness. They'd say to him, how do you know the facts of this case? It says, Imamar, if the witness says, Hu amarli sha'ani chayev lo, or Ishploni amarli sha'chayev lo. So if the witness says, look, someone else told me he was obligated to pay money, or even if the individual himself said to me, he said, this individual said, told me that he owes the other individual money. Still we say, lo amar klum, it's actually nothing. This is despite the fact the person in question, the person who's been taken to court to pay the other person money, despite the fact this witness can say, yes, he told me that he owes him money, that's irrelevant. That's not a good enough testimony, because a lot of people sometimes, they might present themselves as wealthy and make up stories saying how much they owe all these other people, how trustworthy he is, etc. So that's not a good testimony. However, ad shiomar, what is a good testimony? Either befanin hodalo shuchayev lo mataim zuz. The only time it would be good is if the witness says, look, we were present when the party said to the other party that he owes him money. He admitted he owes him money. So again, the case is Reuven's taking Shimon to court saying he owes him 1,000 zuz. This witness comes and says, I was present when Shimon said he admitted to the fact that he owes Reuven money. Clearly, also, if he was present at the time of the loan, that would also be a good testimony. They'll take send the first witness out, bring the second one in, and they'll check in the same way. If they find that the testimony seemed to be consistent, we say, based on the testimony, the Beit Din now on their own would deliberate on the matter to work out whether indeed, as Shimon say, oh, really did owe Reuven this money. If shneim omrim zakai v'chad omer chayav zakai, if two of the judges say, look, he's innocent, and another party says, and one dayan says, look, I think he's guilty, then we go by majority, and the ruling would have to be he's innocent. Shneim omrim chayav, two of them say, look, he's chayav, or he has to pay him the money. V'chad omer, no, he doesn't. Then we've got a majority now, chayav, he has to. However, the rule of majority doesn't always work so cleanly, because you'll see, echad omer zakai v'chad omer chayav. If one says he has to pay, and the other says, no, he doesn't, or other way around, v'afilu shnaim zakin, even if two people say he doesn't have to pay, and or shnaim or two say he does have to pay, v'chad omer, and one of the daim says, look, eini yodea, I really don't know, that would mean that we cannot close the judgment based on that Beit Din. We have to yosifu hadaim, we have to add another two dayanim to the case in order to deliberate to reach a conclusion. Kadi points out that in the fifth perek, we'll explain what would happen once we add more dayanim and if they still can't reach a conclusion. Let's now learn Mishnah Zayin. Gamru et adavar, haim machnasin otan. Once the dayanim have decided, yep, we've got a ruling, then they'd bring the edim in. Because again, the deliberation was done in complete privacy, or actually, more accurately, secrecy. Hagadol shebedayanim omer, the greatest, or the gadol of the dayanim, he would stand up and provide the judgment. It's a ish ploni atach zakai or ish ploni atach chayav. He'd say you have to pay or you don't have to pay. You provide the ruling. However, it's a mission that now adds, uminaim lekeshi etze echad min adayanim lo omer ani azakai v'chavarei mechayavim. From where do we know that once the court case is finished and the judges leave, that one judge can't say, look, I really thought he was innocent, but I was overruled, the other two judges said he was chayav. Aval ma'e eseh, and he says, what can I do? Shechavarei rubala, what can I do? That I was simply in the minority. So where do we know you're not allowed to say that? Azenara lo telech rachil ba'amecha, you should not go out as a gossiper amongst your people. And what's the definition of a gospel? The Omer, and this next pasuk says, Holech Rachil Megalesod. A Holech Rachil, same word Rachil used in the other pasuk, is someone who's Megalesod, that reveals a secret. And again, when the Dayanim make their judgment, is kept in secret. So if one Dayan comes up and reveals a secret of what the breakdown was, he would be violating this prohibition of Lo Telech Rachil Ba'amecha. Those are the Mishnah today.